that was a great thing, what he did for me at the age of 7. But I want to share something else with you. It is a great thing what he is still doing in my life. I'm so thankful that I have a living God. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me that is with me day in and day out, that is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that never leaves me, never forsakes me, is with me all the way even unto the end of the world, that when nobody else knows my burdens and nobody else knows my problems and my cares, that I have a God that I can go to. I don't have to go to a friend. I don't have to go to a pastor. I don't have to go to a priest. But the Bible tells me that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, that the veil in the temple was rent, and now I have access to a holy God that I can go to at any time. And it is a great thing what he's doing for me. And I want you to know something. It's going to be a great thing what he's going to do in the near future. One of these days, the Bible tells us that he's going to step out in that eastern sky, and that eastern sky is going to split, and he's going to call the church up out of here. Church, I hope you're ready to go. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you better get ready, because I believe it's closer than it's ever been before. And if that doesn't happen, if for some strange reason, if an accident happens in my life, if something happens in my life and I leave here before you do, and one of these days you pass before me here at this church or wherever you pass before me, and I'm laying there and I have no more life here on this earth, I want you to know that my life has just got started and I'm in the presence of Almighty God. It is a great thing. It was a great thing. It is going to be a great thing what Jesus did for me. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. If you will, take your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter number 4. We'll get into the real message. I like that one just fine, but I do want to preach what God's given me this morning. Y'all pray for me that I'll be exactly what God wants me to be, say what he wants me to say, and well, get done when he gets done with me. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I want to thank you for the great thing that you did in my life, for washing my sins away. I want to thank you for what you are doing in my life and what you're going to do in my life. God, I want to thank you for each and every one of my family that's here with us this morning. God, I want to thank you for my church family. God, I pray that you'll just help us to always be exactly what you'd have us to be, to go out into a lost and a dying world and to share the gospel and point others to Jesus Christ. Help us to give you glory and to worship you. God, thank you for your spirit that's here with us this morning. God, I pray for the ones that couldn't be here today for whatever reason. God, I pray if it's a lack of concern that you'll go there and convict their heart, God, and I pray that you'll draw them to you. Help them to remember, God, what you have done for them. God, and I pray if it's other things going on in their family situations, if it's sickness, if it's death, whatever it is, God, I pray that you'll be right there with them. God, I pray most of all for the ones that's lost. Maybe some that's not here with us in body in our service. God, I know you can go to right where they're at, and God, you can speak to their heart even now. And God, I pray if there's one here that's in the congregation that's lost, I pray that they'll make a decision before they leave here today. I pray that you will reach down. I pray that you'll touch their heart. I pray that you'll draw them. And God, I pray that they'll make a decision to let you be their Lord and Savior before they leave here today. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Before we get into our reading in Acts chapter number 4 this morning, you kind of got to understand what's going on. Peter and John's been out preaching. They've been out carrying the gospel, and they've been arrested for it. And now that they've been arrested, and they go and they appear before the leaders there, and the leaders have decided to let them go. And as they let them go, I'm giving you the short version of this. Go back and read it so you can get the whole picture of the story. As they let them go, they go back and they talk to the other apostles and to the other people there that are believers, and they start telling them what's going on. So then, in verse number 31 is where we're going to pick up in Acts chapter number 4. The Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Church, I would like to be in a time and a place in us as a body of believers here at Fellowship Baptist Church that when we pray that we are shaken. I can remember a couple of New Year's Eves ago, and probably this last one too, if I could just remember correctly. We were sitting here and we were praying in the new year as we were gathered together as a body of believers. Well, we've got a member in our church that doesn't live far away. Some of you might know him, but he really likes to shoot Tannerite. And as we were praying and we were praying in the new year, all of a sudden something went boom. And I mean, the whole place just shook. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was coming across the hill. But I want to tell you, I want to be in a place and a time and a place in our spiritual lives that when we come together as a family and we come together and we pray and we ask God and we are seeking God and we are trusting God and we are leaning on God, that He will shake us, that He will shake us in a way that we can't even understand. Because look what the Bible says here. It says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. That's where we need to be as a body of believers. Verse number 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. I like the way that the Bible is using this word great. And with great power. You know, that's what we need to pray for, is that God give us power with the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, but the way we present it sometimes is just a little bit limp. It's just, yeah, Jesus saved me. Hey, I was glad when the choir took off. See, now, I'm not going to throw stones at our choir. I love our choir. Our choir works hard. They practice hard. But our first two songs, they were singing. That third song, they sung it like they knew what they were singing about this morning, didn't they? It was a great thing. Again, I'm not throwing no stones whatsoever. Y'all don't want to hear me sing. Y'all would all get up and leave. Not one bit. But I tell you what, when we get to where we know what we're talking about and what we're singing about and we feel it, then we can do it with great power, as the Bible is talking about here. Neither said any of them that all of the things which had possessed his own, but they all had all things common. Verse number 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection and the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was an apostle, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I want you to know, we're not reading a redistribution of wealth right here. We are reading about people who loved each other, who were concerned for one another, and who decided as a body of believers that they were going to take care of one another, that they went out and they sold their possessions, and they sold their land, and they brought it all together, and they said, look, I love y'all so much as my family, I love you so much as my Christians and brothers, and I'm so concerned about the work of Christ that needs to be done, I'm going to bring everything that I have, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to give it all to the kitty over here. And anybody that needs anything out of the kitty in order to prepare others for the kingdom of God, we'll just take it right out of here. And that's what this church did for one another. Church, we need to love one another like that. I'm not telling you to go home and sell everything that you got and bring it to the church. Hey, if you do, that's okay. But I'm not going to right now unless God speaks different. But if you want to do that, then you pray about it really hard. Really, really hard. But anyway, I'm not asking you to do that. But what I am asking you to do is to love God and love God's house enough that you're willing to give all of yourself to Him anytime that He asks. Anytime. And look. Your possession is one thing, but what about your time and your prayer? And what about your commitment to the house of God? We can give those things if we can't give anything else. That's not the message this morning. I just thought it was a good little point to throw in there as we go. Acts chapter number 5, let's continue reading. As everybody is gone and they're selling their land, they're bringing their possessions, they're throwing it in a pool together, they're loving one another, they're loving the work of God, and they're using this for that. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 1. But certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Now we got two people that goes, okay, everybody else is doing it. We're going to do it too. Everybody else is going out and they're selling their land. They're bringing their money. They're throwing it into the pool so that we can all use this for the glory of God and to help one another. So we're going to do it too. But look what happened in verse number 2. And kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? In other words, he's saying you didn't have to do that. It was in your possession. Why are you lying about this? Why have you decided to do this? He says, after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? I want to stop here for just a moment. I want to talk to you for just a moment about a recent event that we all kind of took part in. You know, last Wednesday night, we had our fall carnival. I'm not scared to say it. We had a Halloween thing here at church. Oh, Lord, the preacher said Halloween from the pulpit. Well, let me tell you something. I know that there are things that happen on Halloween, and there are people who celebrate that in a way that is absolutely contradictory to my beliefs. But can I go ahead and tell you this? That Halloween, Thanksgiving, Easter, whatever day you want to look at, the Bible says that this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not giving any days to the devil. They're all God's. But as we come together and we had this little celebration the other night, and we come over here to the church, and man, the kids were having a good time, and they were all dressed up, and they had on their costumes, and they had their mask on. And it's fun to get dressed up sometimes and to pretend to be somebody that you're not. It's fun sometimes to put a mask on and let other people guess who you are. It's fun sometimes to do something and everybody look and say, well, who is that or who are you supposed to be? And as we come the other night, we did that. And then when Kirk gave his devotion during the end of the service, he asked me to take a little part in it. So as he was up here and he was teaching, I had on completely black. It was like a black robe and a black mask, and I was hid down in here. Now look, it's not real easy for me to get here, but I was popping up just like this with the black on and walking back and forth, and Kirk was acting like he couldn't see me, and it went along with his devotion. Well, at the end of it, Kirk said, okay, come on out. So I come out, and I was standing here just kind of nonchalantly, and Kirk started asking everybody, does anybody know who this is? And there was two or three that guessed it right. But anyway, to make a long story short, when we walked outside of the building right here, my daughter, Addie, who I love dearly. I really do love you, Addie. I'm getting ready to tell on you. Who I love dearly. She came out there, and she wrapped her arm around me. She said, Daddy, I knew it was you. And I was like, Court, you know, you're my daughter. And she wrapped her arm around me, and that wasn't the end of the sentence. She said, when I seen that fat belly on that fella, I knew who it was. Thank you, Addie. I love you, too. But the thing of it is as I was standing up here and I had on a mask, I was pretending to be somebody who I was not. You maybe not have known who I was, but somebody that I'm around all the time knew exactly who I was. She said, I could tell by the way that you were standing. She tried to backtrack. She said, no, I just mean by the way you were standing. You know, you were standing kind of like this, and I could tell by you. No, she said it right the first time. When she saw my fat belly, she knew who it was. But as we had that conversation, and I began to think about it this week, and I've had this message, this scripture on my heart for a couple of weeks now, and didn't know really which way God wanted me to go with it, but I want you to look at Ananias and Sapphira here. They were pretending to be like everybody else. They were pretending that what everybody else was doing, that everybody was selling their possession, and that everybody was bringing all of it. They was bringing all of it to the house, and they were pitching in together, and they were putting it in a pool together so they could use it how it needed to be used. And Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what? We're not going to do that, but we're going to pretend to be like everyone else. You know what? I'm afraid there are some of us as Christians that we're pretending that we're like everybody else. And that can go two ways. First of all, you go out into a lost and a dying world. I want to tell you that you have the same living God on the inside of you that I have on the inside of me. That same Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you, that dwells on the inside of me. And I know when I go out here into a lost and a dying world, and sometimes, even though I know who I am, I know that I'm a child of the living God. I know that the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my God this morning. I know that the same God that parted the Red Sea for Moses is my God this morning. I know that he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross for me. I know all of those things. But sometimes, even though I know who I am, I know who I belong to, I go out into a lost and a dying world and I pretend to be somebody that I'm not. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I end up acting like the world. I end up hanging out with the world. I end up letting things into my life that shouldn't be there. I end up around a crowd that I shouldn't be in. And you know what? It's okay. We've got to be around worldly people in order to be a light for Jesus Christ. But we can be around worldly people without becoming worldly. And sometimes I allow myself to become worldly. Sometimes I allow my thoughts, I allow my actions to become worldly. Well, preacher, I can't believe you're going to stand up there and preach that and tell us, hey, we're all in this boat together, ain't we? I'm just sitting in a different place in the same boat that you're in. We're all rowing. We're all doing what we can every single day to give glory unto God and to point others to the cross. But there's times in my life that I pretend like I'm somebody I'm not, because just as Shane was talking about in Sunday school this morning, I know who I am. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a child of the King. But sometimes out here in a lost and a dying world, I become worldly, and that's not who I am. But also, there are times that I come into the church and I pretend to be like everybody else. I pretend that, man, everything's just great in my spiritual life. I pretend that, man, me and God, we're walking hand in hand. I mean, we meet in the garden every morning, and He walks with me and He talks with me. And we can come in and we put on this facade. You know, I talk to you sometimes about your Facebook face. You know, there have been times your family doesn't do this. But there have been times when me and Autumn, we might not even be in a speaking moment. We might be in a time where she doesn't want to speak to me, and I'm okay with that. Y'all don't have those times. We do. If you don't, spend a little more time praying for me. But Autumn and I, we have those times from time to time, and we'll be at one of those places, and all of a sudden somebody says, we need to post a picture, or we need to take a picture. Well, me and Autumn, we can be all like this, and when that camera goes up, we all, hey, life is wonderful. Hello. I love you, baby. Y'all don't do that, do you? Can anybody give me an amen right there? Come on. Yeah, we do that. And then as soon as the picture's taken and the phone goes down, it's back to, right back to it. It don't fix it. You know what? Sometimes we do that when we come to church. We are struggling spiritually. There's something, me and a friend of mine was talking just yesterday about Hebrews chapter number 12, where the Bible says to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, that we all have something in our lives that gives us trouble. We all have something that we struggle with. It might be a thought. It might be finances. It might be a sin that's out in the wide open. It might be any kind of things, but we all have something in our lives that gives us trouble. And what I want to ask us to do is to be real with ourselves and to be real with God. And instead of coming into a church house and putting on our Christian face and putting on our fake face and putting on our faith face, instead of doing that, let's come in here and get real with God and say, God, you know I got a problem. God, you know I got issues in my life. God, you know I got thoughts that I shouldn't have. And God, I need your help. God, I need to get rid of them. God, I want you to forgive me. And God, I want you to help me. We need to get rid of that fake life and get real with God that we can get help this morning. Ananias and Sapphira, look in verse number 5. I might as well walk away from my notes. It's not lining up at all. God's taking me a different direction. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young man arose up, and the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. So as Ananias is standing here before Paul, and he says, hey, I've brought everything. He come in and he was a faker. He come in and he put on his face that he went and sold his possession, and he brought it all just like everybody else. Paul says, Ananias, why have you lied? Why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. And the Bible tells us that Ananias fell dead. Young men come, took him up, carried him out, and buried him. Verse number 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Look, I want you to notice what happened when Ananias put on his fake face. When he becomes somebody that he wasn't, when he tried to be somebody and pretend to be somebody who he wasn't, he also involved other people. The Bible tells us that none of us live unto ourselves or die unto ourselves. My actions absolutely have a cause and effect in my life, but they absolutely have a cause and effect in each and every one of your lives, in my family's life. No, nothing that I do is only happening to me. When I try to be somebody or pretend to be somebody that I'm not, whether it be in here or out there, it affects others. Hey, have you ever been one of those people? Let's lay Baptist down on the line right here. We just gonna squash it. You ever been one of those people that you met somebody out and you know they went to so-and-so Baptist church And you hear them over there, and they're talking in a way that is don't even sound like a Christian whatsoever. Let's just put it down like it is. They're cursing like crazy. Or if you want to go Ararat and Pilot Mountain, they're cussing like crazy. Now look, again, y'all may not do this, but I'm going to be real with myself this morning. I've heard that before, and instead of saying, you know what, God, maybe I don't know what's going on in their life, or maybe sometimes you might even need to, if it's somebody that you're real close to, first examine yourself, but you might have to go to them and say, hey, man, I don't know whether you know this or not, but when you talk like that, it really hurts your testimony. Can we pray about it? I mean, but here's what I do sometimes. I hear so-and-so from up the town, up the road, Baptist church over there, and he's cussing like crazy. And you know what I do? I don't look and say, man, that guy, God, help him. God, show him. Holy Spirit, move on his life. If he's not saved, help him see that he's not saved. But you know what I do? I say, you know what? Everybody in that church must be like that. Y'all don't do that? I've done it. I've labeled a whole congregation before because of the way that one person I seen out in public. Well, y'all getting holy on me right now. Maybe we need to give an invitation right now. Y'all getting holy on me. You know what? And instead of saying, because what he did or she did or they did affected a lot of other people. It affected their testimony. And that's what happened right here. So as Sapphira comes in, and it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. And carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now, let me tell you something. As she fell dead because she had misrepresented along with her husband, as she went and done the very same thing that he did, as she had agreed with him to do the very same thing, and they both are dead now. Young men come in, carry her out. I'm not saying this morning that God's waiting to strike us dead. But look, this had a great effect on their relationship. And when I'm a faker, when I try to be somebody that I'm not, either in here or out there, I cause a failure in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we want to look and we want to label our salvation as this, this, and this. We want to label our salvation as, well, I'm doing this and I'm not doing that, so I'm good. But you know what? Your salvation is about a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. When you come to me and you say, well, preacher, is it okay if I do this? I tell you what, you go to God and ask him if it's okay whether you do that or not. And whatever he says, we'll go with that. Because my opinion doesn't matter very much. We can go into God's word and we can look what's there. But the main thing is that you're honest with God and that you talk to God about what's going on in your life so that your relationship with Jesus Christ can be exactly what you want your relationship with Jesus Christ to be. Because the thing of it is God is not waiting to strike us dead. God is waiting for us to want the same relationship with him that he wants with us. He wants that closeness and that relationship. My son is 16 years old. He got his license back in September. And we still have a strong relationship, but he's becoming very independent. He don't need me to take him here and there and everywhere now. And he's manning up. He's doing some things to become responsible, and he's doing some things that I don't think he even knows where his sock drawer is yet. Mama still got that for him. But he's in that place where but you know what? If he'll be straight up front and honest with me and come to me and say, hey, Dad, I messed up. I know I was supposed to be here at 8:30. I didn't get here at 8:30. Here's what happened. A, B, and C happened. Me and him can keep the relationship that we're supposed to have. If he comes in, though, and he's got all these great excuses about why he didn't do what he was supposed to do, why he was somewhere that he wasn't supposed to be. You know what? Life 360 is one of the best creations in this world. I know where he's at all times. I can see exactly where he's at. But if he wants to come in and tell me a bunch of mess of why he wasn't where he was supposed to be, his and I relationship are going to change very quickly. Instead of having a father-son relationship that wants to be, look, I know I can't be just his friend, but I want to be his friend to where he can open up and talk to me. But I know I've also got to be his dad. I got to be his dad first and friend second. But I want to be the person he can come to and say, look, Dad, I'm struggling with this. Dad, can you help me with this? Dad, can you come and pray with me about this? I'm struggling. You know what? That's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. Sometimes, Silas, he's got to the place that he knows what punishment's coming. First of all, it's PlayStation. And it would be car, but he's got to drive to school. I'm not driving to Hillsville every day. I'm not going to take that first. First of all, it's PlayStation. Second of all, is he won't be able to see his girlfriend for the weekend. And third would be the car. And when we get to that second step and I say, look, well, you can't go see your girlfriend this weekend, he goes, well, you always use that. Won't you come up with something new? Because I know exactly how to get his attention. You know what? God knows exactly how to get our attention. Ananias and Sapphira, they come in and pretended to do and to be something that they're not. But let me show you something really quick. Go all the way back to Genesis. Go back to where this whole sin problem started in the beginning. And as Adam and Eve have sinned, as they have realized they're naked, and they have realized that they've done something that they shouldn't have, when God comes into the garden the next morning, and he calls out and he says, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Now look, Adam had went and hid because he was ashamed. He realized where he was at, and he didn't like where he was at, and he went and hid from God because he didn't want to face up to God. But when God said, Adam, where are you? God knew exactly where Adam was. He was wanting Adam to know where Adam was. My question to you this morning is, where are you? Where am I? God knows exactly where we're at. We're trying to hide it from him sometimes. We're being fakers. We're trying to disguise it to where nobody knows what we are. Nobody knows what we're doing. We're trying to disguise that, but I want you to know that God already knows. So why not go to God and say, God, you already know, because look what happened with Adam and Eve. God reached out. He made a sacrifice just for them to cover their nakedness. He was there for them. We know that introduced sin into the world, but God was still there for them, and he'll still be there for you. The Bible tells us that when we find out that our relationship is not where it's supposed to be with God, if we'll call out to God, that he will restore unto us that salvation. Look at David as he prayed, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. As we look into our lives, there's been many times that I tried to run and I tried to hide and I tried to pretend about my relationship with Christ, but when I got the best results in my Christian life is when I come to God and said, God, I'm ready to be real. I'm ready to face up with who I am. I'm ready to tell you, because I know you already know, but God, I want you to know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. God, I'm faking in one place or the other. God, I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And you know what? Look, he's had every right to. Hannah, if you will, come on and get us an invitation to him. Is she here? Yeah, she don't sit in different places. When I finally got to the place where I was real with God, I want you to know something. He had every right to strike me dead with a lightning bolt. He had every right to jerk every blessing out of my life. He had every right to pin me down. But you know what's happened every single time that I've got real with God and said, God, here's where I'm at. God, you know it. Now it's time for me to realize it. And it's time for me to get help. You know what he's done every single time? He's reached down and picked me up. And he's hugged me up. And he said, you're my son. Look, that young man back there is my son. I hope he keeps his head screwed on straight. I hope he makes good decisions in his life. But let's also think about it this way. There are mamas in prisons all over the United States this morning going to see their babies. Because no matter what they've done, that's still their son or their daughter. You know what? No matter what he does, he will always be my son. And any time in his life, even if he makes a bad choice, if he comes to me and says, Daddy, I've made a bad choice and I need help, I'm not going to run him off. I'm not going to beat him down. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to restore him. I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to help him. I'm going to pick him up and do everything that I can to help him get his life where he and God knows that it needs to be. That's the way God is with us. You are his child. You are his son or his daughter. He's not wanting to beat you down, smack you down, punish you. Hey, I know as we read this, Ananias and Sapphira, they died just like that. Man, God's a mean God. No, if God was a mean God, I'd have been dead a long time ago. If God was a mean God, I'd be burning in hell this morning. But he don't give me what I deserve. But he restores me into a relationship. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, one question. Where are you? Maybe two questions. Who are you? As we all live day in and day out, I think I would be safe to say that in both situations, whether in God's house or in the world, that we all find ourselves being somebody that we're not. Would you have the courage this morning to look in your heart and to say, "Preacher, I'm there. I realize there's things in my life that shouldn't be there. I realize I'm not walking where God wants me to walk. I'm misrepresenting who I am because I know I'm a child of the King. I know that I've been saved. But preacher, I do know that there's things there that shouldn't be there. I want to be real with God this morning. I want to try to get some help. I want to try to turn that over to God. I want to try to be restored." Would you have the courage just to slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me"? I see your hand, you can put it right back down. See your hands, you can put them right back down. See your hands, you can put them right back down. "Preacher, I want to be where God wants me to be, but I'm not there right now. Would you just pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand?" I see your hand, put them right back down. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know what it's like to have that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't know what it's like to have joy even in hard times. Preacher, I'm carrying a burden of sin and shame, and I know, I believe the Bible that God will forgive me of that, and I need to be saved. I'm not saying I'm going to do it today, but I want to acknowledge to God that I know that I'm lost. I don't want God to give up on me. I don't want to leave this world lost. But preacher, would you just pray for me? Preacher, would you just pray that at some time that I'll have the courage to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? Would you just slip up your hand? Preacher, I know that I'm lost. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I just want to acknowledge to God that I'm lost." Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I want to thank you for this scripture and the way that you spoke it to my heart, because God, I need help. God, if I'm real with you, God, if I'm as real with you as you know everything about me, God, you know that I need help in my Christian walk. God, help us as we have this opportunity during this invitation. Some of us have acknowledged we need help. Help us to move on that, to come to this altar, and to allow you to move in our lives in Jesus' name.